It's a Cab Chat interview.
Where you're hearing things. Where you're hearing things.
Chat Radio Show is brought to you in association with Plan Insurance, who you can call on 0800 542 2869 or find them on the web at planinsurance.co.uk/cabchat, and Driver Tax, who you can call on 0208 529 2600. You can also find them on the web at drivertax.co.uk.
Right, this is Super Cabby for Cab Chat with Lenny Everidge, and we're going to talk about demos and all things protests. So welcome to the podcast, Lenny.
Thank you.
So how do you want to introduce yourself?
I'm Lenny Everidge, Lenny the Pen. I'm a taxi driver, that's it. Well, so, I drive a taxi for a living.
So you're loosely involved with the ITA?
Yeah.
You're not in charge of the ITA. No one is. So you're loosely involved with the ITA. Yeah. And the protests were the inspiration of a few people that are loosely involved with the ITA.
ITA, yeah.
So what was the thinking behind calling the protests?
It was just triggered. It was we've already lost Tottenham Court Road, and then the news about Tooley Street was coming out, and a few of us, including myself, was quite enraged that it was even considered. These consultations shouldn't even have an option to dismiss or exclude taxis from anywhere.
Yeah.
Our argument basically is, the hashtag is, where buses go, taxis go.
Yeah.
Because there's no reason. There's no rhyme or reason.
To exclude taxis.
Taxis or buses, what's the difference? A bus is longer, wider, higher, dirtier.
Yeah.
Takes up more road space.
Yep.
And
more polluting.
Yeah, if they turned around and said it's only walking and cycling the whole of London, there's nothing we can say.
Yeah.
They'll hit us with the pollution.
Yeah.
The bat's over the head with that. So when they say you can walk, you can cycle, or you can get a bus, hold up a second. Why you can get a bus?
Yeah.
And there's been on Twitter recently a couple of councillors, one from Hackney, one from Camden, throwing the emotional bombshell in, what about little Tommy in the playground, 9 years of age, with COPD?
Yeah.
I've actually got COPD, but it wasn't from driving a cab. And, what about Tommy with COPD?
Yeah.
Kids get that. I'm not saying that they don't, but they'll get it from buses.
Yep. And TfL have licensed 120,000 private hire drivers recently.
Yeah.
Who are all driving around London looking for a ping.
Yeah.
A lot of them using diesel vehicles.
With their engines running, trying to keep warm.
Yep.
I've got nothing against them. I don't blame them, I blame the company and I blame the regulator.
Yep.
But getting back to what the council say, that it, what annoys me is they bring up little Tommy. They're actually exploiting children.
Yep.
They're exploiting the illness of children. It used to annoy me years ago with Facebook. Give this a share and a like, and they put a picture that's got nothing to do with these people.
Yep.
Of a sick child, because they're after getting how many followers and then selling the group. So it annoys me that you're using children, because COPD is a problem, heart disease is a problem, stress is a problem, excuse me, cancer is a problem. Some of this is caused by pollution, some's hereditary, different lifestyles. They're jumping on the bandwagon with kids, and that really annoyed me. So I don't normally answer cyclists and trolls and councillors, because there's no point. But I did answer, and they never got back to me. Our bus is COPD free.
Yeah.
Because that just nullifies their argument that no taxis.
Yeah.
If they said no buses, we've got no argument.
No. That's
you
right.
Know, you want to pave the whole of London,
yeah.
We've got no argument.
Yeah.
It's terrible, it's poison. I remember proper smog when yeah. I was a kid. I'm 62 years of age.
Yeah. I'm a little bit younger than you, so I yeah, don't quite remember
yeah.
them.
I just look younger. So, I can remember, and obviously the air is cleaner, but we've got different pollutants.
Yeah.
But we've got pollutants in the water, we've yep. got pollutants in plastic bottles
yeah.
and containers. And what they're doing, say plastic bags, for instance, they're charging you 5 and 10 pence for a plastic bag. That doesn't get rid of a plastic bag.
Hmm.
Getting rid of, say you paved the whole of Tottenham Court Road over and there were no buses allowed.
Yep.
What happens to, and there's a school, let's say there's a pretend school where in, little Tottenham is.
On Tottenham Court Road.
Yeah. What about the pretend school in Gower Street next to it
yeah.
that all the traffic's been diverted onto?
Yep.
Little Jamie,
yep.
he don't count, does he?
No.
Right, no. So it's just...
But also they're forgetting that pollutants are airborne as well.
Yeah.
And they float.
Yeah,
and
it's all right if we lived in a vacuum.
Yeah, if they glassed it over and put it in a vacuum, then that yeah. might actually work. But
yeah.
just closing one street doesn't...
No, I honestly believe it's pollution. An attack on taxis. Because taxi drivers highlight certain aspects of cycle superhighways.
Yep.
And... The bad planning, you do need protection for cyclists, without a doubt.
Listen, I agree with that 100%, but, you know, it needed to have been done in a more intelligent and more structured way.
Let's have a look at the embankment. Excuse me, my COPD is playing up. Yeah. All right. Let's look at Victoria embankment. They took half the road.
Yep.
It would have been easier for cyclists and just as safe if you had a proper... curbed off, paved off cycle lane going the same way as the traffic one side and the same way as the traffic the other side. Then they can turn left, right, and you don't have these extra prohibitions to yep. all traffic where you can't do a left
you
because cyclists
right.
are coming through here. So yep. like when you're going northbound at Blackfriars Road,
yep.
you can't do a left in the cut. Why is that? Because cyclists are coming down.
I mean,
well, if we were on the same side of the road, it wouldn't matter, would it?
I had a situation the other night where I was picking up from Southampton Place.
Yeah.
Yeah? And the girl wants to go to St John's Wood.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How on earth do you get yeah. there without going around the block?
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, because you end up going... You're going across into Red Lion Street, turning right into High Holborn, turning right into the Kingsway to go up Southampton Row.
Yeah.
When you should have just turned left. Now, if that isn't just absolutely ridiculous and causing more pollution, more traffic and everything else, and killing little Tommy
yeah.
because it's causing more pollution, yeah. I don't know what is.
Yeah, I am little Tommy. I've got COPD. But I got a job, I think it was when the cycle race was on, Saturday or Sunday, and they wanted the church opposite Langham Hotel by BBC. So I've come over Westminster Bridge. I can't use the embankment, can't yep. go Whitehall. The mail, it must have been a Sunday, and the mail was shut. So I've explained to them, and obviously I've had to go up to Grosvenor Place.
Yep.
Up Grosvenor Place, and in as you go. I'm not going to educate any Uber drivers out there. And they were really pleased.
Yep.
They were really pleased with it. And luckily, the way I went, the traffic wasn't too bad. And it came to £25 near enough. So, obviously, I went just rounded down to £20. I felt guilty. Felt embarrassed. They were all lovely, happy. They were Spanish people, really happy. And off we go. So, I drove away. And I think to myself, that's going to become the norm.
Mm.
With all these road closures, that's going to become the norm.
I mean, let's just point out the roads that are proposed or were already excluded
yeah.
from. Yeah. That drivers don't realise at the moment. Now, we're excluded from Bank Junction already.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's proposed we're going to be excluded from Tooley Street.
Yeah.
It's also proposed we're going to be excluded from Tottenham Court Road.
Well, that's a done deal. We've got to fight that back.
There's a proposal to close and pedestrianise the Strand.
Yeah.
There's a proposal to close and pedestrianise, or buses and cycles only, Whitehall and Parliament Square. There's a proposal to close Oxford Street. There's a proposal to close Clerkenwell Road and Old Street and Old Street Roundabout.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also a proposal to pave over part of Moorgate and close Moorgate and make that pedestrian only.
Yeah.
And that is just the start.
Well, you've got Aldwych. If you have a look at the plans for Aldwych, the they've only, if you look at the artwork, there's only buses on it.
Yeah.
They've got no, they're not allowing any other traffic. Holborn, they're doing, they've already done swathes of Bloomsbury. It's just going to be no-go areas.
Everywhere.
The other day I was trying to get to King's Cross Station. And I'm going east and I can't go into Bloomsbury Square. There's no left in to Southampton. So obviously I'm going to go Old Gloucester. No, can't go in there. I've had to go all the way down to, and come in like James and Doughty and Roger, yeah, and into Gray's Inn Road. So now I'm coming from the west, yep, to King's Cross Road. The gentleman didn't say anything. But I'm now, as I'm coming into King's Cross Station, I'm coming in from the east. I've had to go past it to come back.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to happen. And I've said, and we've put it on their leaflets, if you're going to take longer time, longer distance,
yeah,
and it's going to be more expensive, who's going to use taxis?
Yeah.
My personal opinion is that TfL, when Ken Livingstone tried to get everyone out of cars and onto bikes, and it's been carried on by both mayors, which ain't a bad idea, what he actually got is he got them off of buses onto bikes.
Yeah.
So your buses are empty, and there's too many buses on the road.
Yep.
A little bit's to do with the EU with that, but...
Well, we've gone up from, what was it, 4,000 buses originally 8, to 8,500.
Yeah. Yeah, so now we've got... That situation where they're going to try and drag our customers out of our cabs
onto
and
buses,
stuff them into buses.
Yeah.
Because if you want to get anywhere, you've got a bus. And when you say Tooley Street,
but don't you also,
that's Tooley Street all the way to Greenwich and branching off to, yeah, Lewisham. That's the whole route.
Don't you think that also with the proliferation of private hire drivers and the lowering of fares in private hire vehicles, they've also forced bus passengers into private hire vehicles as,
yeah,
well?
Yeah. But that will happen now.
Yeah.
That would happen. What we're seeing now is that it'll be cheaper to go and get your personal driver in a minicab, in a Prius, say, than on a bus. They're shooting themselves in the foot.
And then before anyone says, oh, we're the prophets of doom and gloom sitting here,
yeah,
I want to point something out. I absolutely love driving a cab, and I know that you do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The freedom
And the reason that, you know, we do these things is because we do enjoy the job, and we love the job, and we're really passionate about the job, and we want to carry on doing the job.
I take pride in what I do, and I do it well.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these chatty cab drivers,
yep,
but if the passenger speaks to me,
you speak,
then I'll speak,
yeah,
speak to them. I love showing good manners.
Yep.
Someone's got cases, obviously,
get out,
wheelchair.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
It does bug me, and it isn't often.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say 95% of all taxi drivers are really good.
Yeah,
well behaved, and I don't mind the chat. And look, most customers are really happy.
Yeah.
They're happy, and they're happy to be in a cab.
It's very rare you get a bad customer. Isn't,
yeah,
it? It's very rare.
And you get, and what happens is, say you're picking people up from work, they're tired.
Yeah,
they don't want to talk. And you get that, right?
And you can see them sometimes when they're on the phone, especially these days, you can see the glow of the phone on their face as well.
I remember.
And they might be checking their emails. I mean, I wrote a thing, a blog post years ago, that, you know, you used to get people getting in the cab and they wanted to chat to you. Now all you see is a glow of the phone on their face,
yeah,
and that's all you,
yeah,
see in the back of the cabinet. But then you just leave them alone, don't you? And you,
yeah,
don't talk to them. If, well, they talk to you, you talk back.
I know Danny Baker, but Danny, yeah, Baker doesn't know me.
Yeah.
And he got in the cab once at the foot of Waterloo Bridge. And he got in, and he was obviously tired.
Yeah.
Right? Whatever he'd been doing, it's up to him. And it's in the daytime.
Yep.
Right? And I think he's got a bunch of flowers for his wife, and he opens up a newspaper.
Yeah.
Right? That's the first sign, I don't want to talk, mate.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to bug you. You know, what type of celebrity he is, you know. So off we go, and I drop my mum.
Yeah.
He didn't question me.
He didn't tell you where we were going.
He lived.
He didn't
but
know,
I knew where he,
yeah,
lived, right? he was obviously.
And when he gets there, he said, "Thank you very much, Danny."
Yeah, and he nice tip and that, yeah. And then he left some money in the back seat, and he welts, and he was like a bit embarrassed having to pick it up, but it was his money.
Yeah,
and you know, I think I said something about you in the bed, the doghouse, because you had flowers and things like that. And we had a smile and a laugh, but he didn't want to talk. So yeah. Don't talk,
yeah.
Right? Don't. The last thing you want is get a chatty cab driver
when you don't want to talk.
Oh, mate, it's hard work. Yeah. I was just, you know. And I had a lady in once, and for some reason, I stopped for Eric Clapton on a crossing in Pont Street, and with eye contact, all right, mate, and all that. And he went, "Hello," and I went, "Hello." Just being polite, and he came to me window and went, "Oh, sorry, do I know you?" Because he didn't want to be rude, and I went, "No." He went, "Oh, all right." Well, anyway, about 2 weeks later, I had him in the cab.
Yeah,
and he went, "I remember that." A year later, got to be a year later, I get this young American girl, and I'm taking her to Chilbury Docks. She's going to catch a boat, and we're going down to King's Road, and he's just. Like in King's Road, talking to someone,
yeah.
And we're in a little bit of traffic. And I'm bib bib, I'm all right. And he turned around and went, "Hello," right? But I'm saying a year later, now, maybe he was putting it on, thinking, "I don't know this bloke," or maybe he did. I've got big scar V on my head, so he might have remembered. "Oh, hello, Eric, how are you going?" He said, "Oh, so, now she's impressed. You know Eric Clapton?" I went, "Yeah, we all say they're all brilliant around here," and I'm giving it the spiel. And then I'm telling her all the people we've had in the cab. And it just coming back to me, I'm thinking, oh, I've had a few people in a cab, you know? And it makes the job.
Yeah.
But everyone counts. Everyone counts. And most human beings are nice people.
Yeah.
Nice people. We all get certain jealousies and things. But getting back to these councils, I think it's these liberal elite who, they've got the ump because we come from council estates and streets.
Yeah.
Around
Bermondsey,
working class areas,
Bermondsey, Bethnal Green.
Yeah. So, that's right. I think there's no difference. There's a lot of East Londoners would be saying, "Get out of it." But, you know, you can look across the Thames at each other and there's no difference.
Nah.
We all come from the Thames. And I think they don't like it. How dare you have this job with this freedom? How dare you have this job? All right, the job's not the owner it was.
Yeah.
But cab drivers worked hard.
Yeah.
They got mortgages. Some of them made it and they paid their houses off. Right? And they might have a car on the... They might have two cars on the front. Their wife might work. Yeah. A lot of people now, a lot of couples, they have to work.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, it's a begrudginess. It's like the media. They like a celeb, but they like a celeb to slip.
Yeah.
And they begrudge them. Not, other countries, they love a winner. We love a loser. And they begrudge. And how dare you... Be your own governor. We are the last of the mavericks.
Yeah.
And that's what the establishment hate is. They can't make a tanner out of us.
Mm.
And that comes back to the transport. Anywhere in the world has to be subsidised.
Yep.
Right? Uber. Minicabs even, you know, they have to sign on, get something to help them. Right? Buses. Trains. I mean, the trains are owned by French companies and German companies who subsidised. Their trains through us.
Yeah, and our government subsidises train fares.
There's no money in transport. That's why you know that the likes of Uber and others, well, I don't want to bash
them. Are never going to make any money.
They're never going to make any money, but why are they there? Yeah, is it the data? What are they here for?
It's the data.
Yeah, the data,
and it's the Ponzi scheme. Yeah. That's the biggest long firm I've ever heard of.
Yeah. The only ones who don't get subsidised, the only transport system in the world that makes its own... money, cares for itself, it's taxis.
Mm.
And they hate that because they can't put their fingers in our pie.
But it's only really in this country now because most other countries around the world, they're either state-owned, big company-owned, they're running buses and they're getting subsidies from that and it's all sort of a joint venture as such, whereby it's the profits are all pooled. So as long as they show a profit, it doesn't matter. No matter how big or small on each taxi or whatever, it's the overall... profit margin. Whereas in this country and in London especially, we're the last. I've always said we've got the most underutilised fleet of taxis anywhere in the world. Anywhere else in the world you go up to Liverpool, Birmingham, Manchester, their taxis are running 24 hours a day.
100%.
It's got three drivers on it. And our taxi driver in Edinburgh, whole family of cab drivers, mum, dad and son. The mum used to drive in the morning, the dad used to drive it in the afternoon into the evening, son drove it all night.
Yeah.
And the three of them worked the cab. It was running 20. The engine was never ever switched off unless it went in for a service or to have a car wash or whatever. That was the only time it was ever switched off.
That's why these Priuses are blowing up.
Yeah. But we've got the most. We're in London, we're the only real self employed.
Last of the Mavericks.
Last of the
Mavericks.
If
you're an electrician, a plumber, there's cab drivers who were electricians, plumbers, you've still got to be at that lady's house at 8 o'clock in the morning or on that site.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have an alarm clock in my house, right? And that's what they begrudge. They hate that.
That you work when you want to work, for how long?
But every job I've ever had, and I've had a few, right? I've been at this now 30. This is my 33rd year.
Yeah.
But up till then, I would go in. Yeah, I'll turn my phone off, see? Anyway, I would.
Sorry, Lynn.
I lost me fault there. But.
Yeah, you said you've had a few jobs, and
yeah, so I would go in and do a day's work, whatever. But you're answerable to everyone.
Yeah,
you get here, and you know I was a postman as well, right? Yeah. So you're up, oh, late. I'm rushing down. You're running down the road. You see the same person running past you. He's like, yeah, there is that threat, and they hate that. They hate that, and they won't admit it to themselves. But these people, they got the cheek to call themselves socialists. They're not. I'm actually reading the Communist Manifesto at the moment because I've been advised to.
Yeah.
It's a very good read. And if you read it, you can get it on the audio book as well, but if you read it, you'll have to keep checking the date. And surely they're talking about today, aren't they? Today, it's as relevant today as it has ever been. And you get these Blairites which pretend to be... socialists, and they're not. You know, they're living in £1 million houses, and isn't it?
Well, they're career politicians, aren't they? They've never been in the real
council,
world.
Yeah, they're sons and daughters of career politicians. They've gone in, and they hate us.
Yeah.
They hate us because, and what they love, and I don't want to keep bashing Uber, but they get in, and it is wage slavery anyway, right? But the wage slavery is widespread.
Yeah.
You listen to Noam Chomsky talk about the two types of slavery, but they want to get into their Prius, and they want to be above that person, and they want to poke him in the back, and they want to say, "How dare you?" And if you don't do it, I won't give you 5 stars or whatever the marks are.
But don't you think this is why TfL are keen to decrease the number of licensed taxis on the road, so that us, the drivers, have to share the taxis, and then we are stuck to work in certain hours, and we won't have the time, won't be able to go on demos or protests because, you know, you'll only have a certain amount of hours to go out in that cab before you've got to give it to the next driver who's going to go on, and, you know, so you won't have the time to give up. You'll be working just...
theoretically 9 to 5 again.
Yeah,
because if you did... When this job was financially better than it is now, I mean, I'd love to be earning now what I was earning 10, 20 years ago, but if you'd done this job when I first got out, when it was really... really financial.
It's a proper job.
Proper job.
Rather than messing about.
But if you did it 9 to 5 and worked 6.5 hours as most did back then, they don't now.
Yeah.
You know, with all this zero contracts. If you worked it, you couldn't earn a living.
No.
You had to do
the antisocial hours.
Antisocial hours. You had to do long days.
Yep.
You had a break, you had 2 or 3 breaks.
Yeah.
I loved a break, me. I loved a shelter. John's shelter St John's Wood, St George's Shelter, Grover Garden. I loved the shelter. You know, I was a bit of a what they call a shelter whore. I couldn't pass one without popping in for a cup of tea because I like people.
Yeah,
I like chatting and talking to people.
My thing was the Albert Embankment tea stall.
Yeah, Albert Embankment. I like that. Yeah, I see you there.
Yeah,
Toenail Ted's. We called it. I don't know why we called it that, but some people wouldn't eat there because of that. But I liked it. I even remember there was a tea stall when I was doing the knowledge at Story's Gate.
There was one in just round the back of Parade Street as well, wasn't there? Yeah. Around the corner of Paddington Station.
There was one up to about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, in Great Suffolk Street. If you look at where they eat now, across the road over
there was.
Under the arms.
But yeah, there was.
Excuse me.
Yeah, there was one there.
Yeah, so that's
which actually featured on the Knowledge film.
Yeah, did it?
Yeah,
I've seen that, but don't remember that. But that's what they don't like.
Yeah.
Is that we are the last of the Mavericks. We are our own governors, and we all come from somewhere else. You can't leave school and become a taxi driver. So you've got a certain wisdom, a certain knowledge about the world as it is. And as I say, we're all off of our estates and streets around the working class areas. So when the establishment, the establishment, we can't underestimate the power of them.
Yeah.
But they are we are willing to fight. They are taking us on. And that's why we protest. And that's why it comes a time when you're going, yeah, hold up. I'm not having this.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are?
It gets to a point where you've got to make a stand.
You've got to make a stand. So we're making a stand. And a lot of people were asking why we're in Parliament Square. Well, we've done two weeks in Tottenham Court Road to highlight that. There's two housing associations or housing groups, excuse me, who are against Camden, and they come down and join us.
Yeah.
And the hotel, the Grafton Hotel, the hospital, we went in, we questioned them, and they're all on our side.
Yeah.
And it appears that 60-something percent of the residents ticked the box which said, allow taxis in.
Yeah.
Do you want taxis in that? We shouldn't have been in the consultation. You shouldn't be saying that.
No.
Was buses in there? Do you want buses to come down there?
Yeah.
You know? We shouldn't have been in there. And I believe we to protect us from TfL, from different mayors, from councils. I mean, excuse me. I'm sort of middle of the road, but I would say socially I lean towards more Labour than I do Conservative.
Mm.
Yet, the three boroughs that are really keen in us
are all
Labour boroughs.
Mm.
Camden, Acton, Islington.
Which are supposed to be Labour, supposed to be for the working class person.
You couldn't get more working class. But how dare you, that's what they like, these Liberal elite, how dare you make something of yourself?
Yeah.
All right. I was on the 16th floor in Peckham.
Yeah.
And I had a little baby, and that's when I feel my life began.
Yeah,
right. I've got a childhood, but I was born the day my oldest daughter was born.
Yeah,
loved being dad,
and
I wanted to give them more.
Yeah,
and we had they've cleaned them up since, but I lived on the 16th floor, piss stained lifts when they worked.
Yeah,
probably graffitied with bits of kebab.
Yeah,
all right, digested kebab, and I thought, I don't want them growing up here. So, what was I doing at the time? I think I was a postman at the time, yeah. So I went, I'm going to go and do the knowledge. I've got a couple of mates doing the knowledge. Everyone lies about what they earn, so they're all telling me it was better than it was. But it's better than a postman's wage.
Yeah.
So, and I could, you know, like the seniority in post office, you wait for your overtime. I do what overtime I like now.
Yeah.
Right? To provide a better life for my kids. So, by the time I started in 1984, my daughter was born in June 84. In October, I started the knowledge. October 86, I got out.
Yep.
And I had another baby, another daughter, who was born in April of 86. And I remember when we moved, I went to an accountant, a chartered accountant, and he could project my earnings.
Yep.
So I didn't have to wait. So I'd done 3 months, I slapped them in. He knew like the Woolwich bloke and this and that, and I got myself, and I was looking for houses, and I got the money to put down.
Yeah,
it was all exciting times, and I bought this house. And that my ex-wife is still in, right? And I bought it. I got a mortgage for it, so it was very hard to afford it. But I remember when we moved in, right? We moved in. In the May 87, and you've got them crates that look like nails sticking out of that. So I went to the kids, one can only crawl, right? They're 3 and 1.
Yeah.
And I opened up the back garden, 90 foot garden. I shouldn't be having this because I'm only working class and they begrudge that, don't they? And I put them out, went to stay, play out here. I shut the door and they're crying. They think I've chucked them out of the house because all they were used to was a balcony.
Yeah.
Right? Off the old Kent Road. So I realised then, and Greenbelt at the back, I've made the best decision of my life.
Mm.
And the fact that I could work around them So I've still got that great relationship with him now, right? Mm. Some taxi drivers went out and really, really, really grafted and...
Missed their kids.
Yeah. Dads do that, right? And some mums have to do that, right? But in my generation, dads went and done that. I didn't. I made sure I saw them and worked around them.
Yeah.
But it weren't easy.
Yeah.
And I've got very good friends who are very good men, very good dads, but they feel strangers in their own house.
Yeah.
Because the mum's got a friend of mine, I won't mention his name, he's got two daughters, and the mum's got a great relationship with them. Mm-hmm. And he'll walk into the kitchen, they're talking, they'll stop talking like a stranger's walked in.
Yeah.
He feels like a stranger in his own house.
Yeah.
And I wrote a song once which was saying exactly that, is that, you're working for this house that you never see. And when you're in there on the weekend, she'll find a job for you.
Yeah.
Yep. She'll find something for you to do. There's no rest for the wicked, and we must be very wicked.
But he's only doing it to provide for his own family.
Yeah.
He or to she. To give him the best life. To, you know.
Look how many female cab drivers are on these demos. Eh?
Yeah.
I mean, for the percentage that are female out there, they outstrip us.
There's a big percentage of women on there.
Yeah.
So we've been in Parliament Square
for... The reason we're in Parliament Square is that we've done the Tottenham Court Road, and you can wear your welcome. You don't want to become a sticking plaster. Where they're coming out, the offices, and they're coming out to see us from their house going, thumbs up, yeah. Soon they'd be saying, for crying out loud, I've still got to walk half a mile up the road to the bus because they've got all
getting
this
customers
bloody road.
To Mark F and my coffee shop's going down the pan now.
So wait till they put Camden put their scheme in. So we go, where are we going to go now? We're going to hit all around and cause chaos. We go to Parliament Square, cause chaos. There's 130 bus routes that are stopped. When the protest is on, go around and have a look. Embankment, just Albert Embankment and Waterloo Road and where they're all parked up.
Just before you carry on though, Lynn. For any restaurant, cafe owners in any of these proposed restricted streets are listening to this, we remember when this was tried in Soho, and all the restaurant owners and cafe owners thought it was going to be lovely because they could put their chairs and tables out in the street.
Be like
Paris in the summer, except this isn't Paris, this is London. And in the winter, when people got in your cab and said, can you take me to so-and-so place in Soho? And you'd get to Shaftesbury Avenue and you'd say, I'll have to drop you here, sir, because we're not allowed to go into Soho anymore. You'd have to walk up there, and it was like, I'll sod that, take me so-and-so somewhere else, I'm not walking.
Look, I had a crime.
Crime
went through the roof.
And who was it that screamed for all the roads to be opened back up again? It wasn't cab drivers, was it?
No.
It was all the restaurant, cafe and bistro owners, because they was all going bankrupt because no one was going there.
Yeah.
So...
I think that would happen if they pedestrianised Oxford Street.
Oxford
Street would
become,
Selfridges would become just one big hotel. It's a hotel now, but it'd become and there'd be a few hotels and there'd be cafes. It'd be like you're strolling around. It wouldn't be a shopping area anymore. Couldn't be.
It could become a pound shop just to attract the people in, couldn't it?
Yeah.
So we're at Parliament Square.
So we're at Parliament Square and people are going, why are we here? Why are we so nice? Well, we are nice people.
Yep.
We're not nasty people.
Yep. We've only got to look at the private hire protest to see the difference.
Yeah, big difference. So we're there because it's the seat of power.
Yep.
And they don't know what's going on.
Yep.
We've just had another 10,000 leaflets printed. So we're handing out leaflets and you're getting MPs come up and they're going, what's this about? And you're thinking, well, what do you mean, what's it about?
Of course, we have got a taxi driver who's an MP, haven't we?
Yeah, he's not a very good one, is he?
No, and he did use the taxi trade to get himself elected and then turned his back on us as soon as he was elected, Clive Efford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're handing prominent ministers and they're going, what's this about?
Yeah.
So it's all there, sir. And
but doesn't that prove they live in a
Road? They're closing bubble. Tottenham Court Road and you're thinking... Jesus Christ, what you don't know.
It just proves they live in a little bubble. They've got no idea of what's going on in the outside world.
I think it's the pressure of being an MP.
Yeah.
It's not all... some of it is nice subsidised drink bar and that.
Yeah.
But they have to do a job. They're accountable to people. Mm. They've got everyone on them.
Yeah.
Everyone. I mean, I don't care... The org leaders that I like and the org leaders that I don't like, I understand the pressure they are under.
Yeah, listen.
Because
yeah.
I'll get it. We're answerable to no one.
No.
We're not a democracy. Right? Yeah. And I'll get, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And you can't say too much what's going on. And the last thing you want to say is, we're working behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But we have got, look, it's an old thing where I've got friends in high places.
Yeah.
We've made friends. And one of our friends, we've got a few, one of our friends who comes out to meet us all the time is Lord Palmer.
Oh, yeah.
And he won't hear this. So it's not like I'm kissing butt. But he's such a nice person.
Mm.
Forget the debt protest. Forget him trying to help us, agreeing with us.
Yeah.
He's such a nice man.
Yeah.
I enjoy
he comes out
to us, and I always walk back with him.
Yeah.
It's courtesy anyway. If someone comes to your house, you walk them to the door.
Yeah.
And but I enjoy it.
Yeah.
I enjoy the conversation. He's such a nice man.
Yeah.
A caring man. And we've met a few people. There is some really nice, but I think most of them now know, because Brexit has got in the way of everything, and it's got in the way of our protest, our message. And there's only so many boards we can have printed and so many leaflets we can give out. Excuse me. But we've done the job in Parliament Square, and we will be coming back, and we're there tomorrow. We won't be there Friday because...
The Brexit.
We like to aid the police.
Yeah.
As some drivers question me on Twitter and Facebook, we should be doing... The police are not our problem.
No.
The police are not stopping us. The police are no threat to our jobs.
But if we make things hard for them, they could stop us.
They can do... Look, you're not supposed to be in Parliament Square.
Yeah.
At all. Never mind, this is like the 8th week. We've done 10 weeks in all. Excuse me. And remember the protests on London Bridge and Bank Junction before Christmas. So we'll be doing some little drop zones next week, Monday, Wednesday and Friday. And we may break up for, I think, Easter's the 21st, so we may break up till after Easter, because it's pointless once
it's
Easter
quiet
comes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right? And then we'll be back, and we will be back in Parliament Square.
Mm.
And I definitely will miss Lord Palmer.
Mm.
I will keep in touch with him. I do email him quite often, so I'll keep in touch to keep him up to date. And he can't do enough.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them in there who can't do enough. And I noticed, is it Baroness or is it Dame?
So for all those
Tammy
Gray Thompson, all those that are saying that these demos aren't working.
Oh, they are.
They are working.
They are working.
It's getting the message
through.
You can't
demo just because you're angry.
Yeah.
You shouldn't even demo because you're angry. There should be a reason.
It's to prove a point.
Yeah, there's a reason behind it. Now, say Tammy Gray Thompson. I spoke with her via DM on Twitter.
Yeah.
She educated me.
Mm.
Right? Because I don't know about disabled as much as, say, she does. Not just because she... is disabled in a certain way, right? I didn't know how to address disabled. Do you say disabled people or people with disabilities?
Yeah. Well, they keep changing what you can say,
it
don't
doesn't
they?
Matter, really, you know.
Yeah.
As long as you're trying
as
to
long
be
as
polite. But there's all these different things, like, say a bus, they've got wheelchair-accessible vehicles.
Yeah.
And we just said there's 8,000 of them.
Yeah.
We've got 23,000.
Yep.
And a bus driver isn't insured to get out of that cab and give any assistance at all.
I know.
And when we give assistance, it's not just for wheelchair.
No.
It's for people with who are partially sighted. It's people who are on crutches. It's people with bags of shopping and suitcases.
Did you know that we do so at our own risk as well?
Yeah. But I take great pleasure in it.
As a courtesy. I do. Yeah. But we do it at our own risk and
as a courtesy. It's like this... poor chap who's just been, he's got a criminal conviction now.
Yeah.
Because he put the meter on before he put the...
Now, that was always the case. We was always told years ago that if you was held by a wheelchair passenger, especially on a taxi car job, you put the meter on
otherwise
when you
you're
was
not insured, wasn't it?
Yeah, otherwise you wasn't insured. You put the meter on as soon as you was held as soon as you got to the pickup point.
Right. But it was a personal thing because I thought it was a little bit mean. What, 20 pence?
Yeah.
So I'll get out and do it.
But effectively...
I do it for...
Effectively, Len, you know, in the eyes of the law, as soon as that person puts their arm out, they've held you, they've hired you.
What about if you're on a feeder rink?
They still hired you.
You have to put your meter on when you're called over by the doorman.
Yeah, you're still hired.
But I don't do it for everyone.
Yeah.
I don't, until they sit down and close the door, I don't put the meter on, because it seems to me it's mean.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, how tight are you going to be? 20p?
Yeah.
You might even not turn over that.
But what I'm saying is there was no guidance from Transport for London.
As I'm pulling in, I make an effort so they can see me hand go up and stop that meter. I don't pull in and then stop it. I stop the meter before I've actually stopped.
But what I'm saying, though, Lynn, is TfL, on that news item that went out this week about this driver that's been got a criminal prosecution for putting the meter on before loading the wheels. Now, TfL said they've in recent years, they've prosecuted 55 taxi or private hire drivers for the same offence, yeah? And yet there's been no guidance from TfL as to what the correct procedure in this instance is, Now, years ago, we was always led to believe that as soon as you was hired, you was allowed to engage the meter, TfL have not issued any guidance or any instruction to dictate otherwise.
Well, they're not a competent regulator, are they?
No, so therefore, they're culpable. In my eyes, they are culpable because they haven't instructed us as our regulator that, no, this is not under the Equality Act now, this isn't the correct procedure. This is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
They can't tell you what to do, but this is what you should be doing.
Yeah.
That's what they should be doing, is guiding us as our regulator and as the people that are in the know with regards to the Equality Act. Not just waiting until something happens and then saying, oh, yeah, well, we've prosecuted 55 other drivers for that same thing.
Yeah.
Well, if you've prosecuted 55 other drivers, obviously there's a problem there that you need to address, i.e. issue some guidance to drivers as to the correct procedure when picking up and loading a wheelchair passenger.
It's not as if they care. It's not as if they care about the disabled people.
Well, we know that with drivers in our own trade. Yeah. As soon as you say you've got some form of disability or some sort of illness, their first thing is to try to take your licence away.
Well,
rather than
right.
trying to help you, is trying to take your licence away.
Yeah, but if they cared, they wouldn't be stopping people going what we're protesting about.
Yeah.
I was very... I was walking on eggshells, and Tammy Gray Thompson helped me that way, and a few others. There's a man called Mick, M-I-K, so it's probably Mikhail, isn't it? Mm. Mick Scarlett helped me. There's a couple of people that's helped me out. Because you don't want to come across as if you're exploiting
people,
especially disabled people or children, as I'm saying the councils do, for your own protectionism.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it really is. Mm. Would I be in Parliament Square if it was just disabled people, nothing to do with taxis? No, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Right? But that doesn't take away the fact that they are intrinsically linked.
But let's just
where are you going to, with Dom Hyams, how is he going to get Remate to be?
The thing is, though, Len, this brings up the whole issue of not every disability is visible. You've got COPD, right? Now, in some circumstances, if your COPD is playing up to a certain extent, you can't walk a great distance. So just because your disability is not physically visible doesn't mean that you're not affected by TfL's and local council proposals. Because if you want to get a taxi somewhere and you want to go to a shop on Tottenham Court Road, you're not going to be able to do that anymore.
I remember my dad, he was one of those, I've never smoked in my life, never liked it. But he was one of those, I remember, we were in a pub once. Me and my brother never smoked. And we were in a pub and he was going, I'm 72, it's never affected me, I've smoked all my life. And hold up, you can't walk 100 yards. You know what I mean? We'd be sitting in the house and it was this haze of smoke. You can't walk 100 yards. It's not just life, it's the quality of life.
Yeah.
And having to, not look after me mum, but I had to pop up to my mum every day, and say 6 months before she died, twice a day, just to put this cream on. She had like 3 fractures in her spines and in her legs, and everything that could go wrong went wrong with her. And she couldn't get anywhere without me.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say that makes me more raw towards the plight of disabled people. I just think if you're a good person, you want you if there should be access for everyone.
Everyone.
This is nothing to do
with just able-bodied, not just able-bodied people, people that can cycle, walk, or are capable of jumping on a bus.
My brother is 4 years older than me, and when he was 21, he went to Australia for a year.
Mm.
And he come back via a cruise type of thing.
Mm.
And one of the stops was Hong Kong. And he said to me, Hong Kong, he said, they round the corner and they got the millionaires, but it'd be billionaires these days, right? Millionaires, right? The big houses. And just round that corner, they're proper starving. And he said, you're dying actually physically in the gutter. He saw this man, and he had a sack round him, right, for his dignity, and a toe missing. I don't know why he clocked that. And people to cross the road stepped over him like it was a bit of rubbish.
Mm.
Wouldn't happen in this country, thank God. And although...
It's getting that way.
Before we handed Hong Kong over. But that is the case, is that people think, it doesn't bother me. You know, I won't mention the footballer, but... He parked in a disabled bay, and the person from the shop come out and went, who gives a toss?
Mm.
Words to that effect.
Yeah.
Because he's lost... What it is, a lot of footballers, they leave school, and they're treated as school kids till they leave the profession at 30-odd.
Yeah.
So he hasn't grown emotionally that way.
But don't you think as you get older, you become more aware of people's mobility issues and you know... what they can and can't
well,
do.
I,
and also, doing this job, you become more aware of people's issues.
Yeah, and it pleases me
issues.
To help. Yeah. I'm pleased. Sometimes I think I'm in the wrong job. I should have been
social worker.
Yeah. But I've missed my vocation. But it does please me to help. And not in a patronising way.
Yeah.
You know, it pleases me to open a door.
Give a good service.
Yeah, for a human being. Doesn't matter, man or woman.
Yeah.
I hold the door open. I find it really rude when people don't do it to me. I don't mention it. It's not my job to go around educating the world.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, I like, people like, don't you like being liked?
Yeah.
You like, be a nice person. That's, you know Ozzy, didn't you? Alan Osborne. Mm. His mum had a saying, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to
be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely,
yeah.
Lovely, you know. So
the ITA are going on tour. Next week. Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not around next week because I'm going away for a week.
Because we're forced to. Because we know through certain people in TFL, in the police force, and certain other departments, that TFL will never talk to us.
Yeah.
Mike Brown hates us.
Well, he hates everyone, don't he?
Yeah. Yeah. Has he got any mirrors?
No, probably not.
Right. But they're not going to talk to us, so... We've got to step it up slightly.
Mm.
It's not going to get rough and ready and raucous, but we've got to bring a bit of pain, and it's upsetting really because we don't want to affect the public that much. It won't be going home times really, although the last one, the Friday's one, will affect, and it will take hours to come back to normal, but. We are sorry for the inconvenience, but we're fighting for our lives here.
Don't you think that if every driver in the taxi trade supported these protests, this would have been over a long time ago?
2 days, yeah.
Yeah.
I had a driver, I don't know if he really was a driver or not, on Twitter, say, when they tried to move us from Parliament Square the first time, we went up to Hyde Park Corner.
Yeah.
And went, well, if you want this, we'll give you that. And we done Hyde Park Corner, and everyone was pleased with the outcome. And this driver on Twitter, or this person on Twitter, said, "What do I tell my neighbour? She's just gone to me and said that her daughter was held up in that traffic for 2 hours on a coach back from a trip, a school trip." And I thought it was an easy answer. He didn't get back to me. I said, "Well, what do I tell my daughter? Theoretically, my kids are grown up.
Mm.
What do I tell my daughter? What does a taxi driver tell his daughter? You can't go on the trip because daddy hasn't got a job.
Yeah.
We're living hand to mouth. Mm. They used to call them soup kitchens.
Well, they're coming back.
Yeah. Now you're going into shops and getting cans, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
And my dad was 21 years older than my mum. He was born in 1909. So he remembers our times. He remembers a proper recession.
Mm.
And soup kitchens and stuff like that. And we're not far off that.
Mm.
We're not just us personally,
yeah.
The society. And it hasn't helped. I'm not picking on one party or another, but it hasn't helped with this austerity that was fake from the start,
yeah.
And just affected us, and it didn't get us out of any debt.
No.
And I used to think Tony Blair was the worst Prime Minister in living memory. I'm not sure now whether it's him or Cameron. Probably still is him because of the...
Well, when you think of the bailout for the banks, bodies. They could have paid everybody's mortgage off with that money, couldn't they, in this country?
Yeah.
And we'd have had a fantastically buoyant economy then.
Yeah.
Because everyone would have had money to spend.
There are great thinkers out there who believe that one day we'll all just be paid and only a few people have jobs because everything will be technology.
What a boring existence.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Just sit at home and veg out all the time?
See, this job, I'm 62. I want to do it till I'm 80.
I do. I ain't got no pension.
Yeah, it's not just a pension.
I ain't got a pension.
If I come out 3 days a week, I see my mates.
Lynn, I ain't got a pension.
I see people.
Years ago, people moaned that they was bad off work, but you know, and now, but they had a pension. if they worked for a company, they had a pension. A lot of them had final salary pension schemes. Yeah,
yeah.
Those of us like me or you, you might have been in the post office. You might still have your post office pension.
No,
I put my BT pension
ages ago.
Well, I put my BT pension into a private pension, which we all know our private pensions went.
Yeah.
And I was, in the end, I was paying into the private pension, and I spoke to a financial advisor, and he said, "You're paying more money into this every year than it's actually going up. You are wasting your money."
Yeah.
Freeze it, which is what I did. So effectively, I've got a pension, but it is so small, it ain't worth having.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've got no pension. So this job is my life, and I've made it my life. For 28 years, I've made this job my life. My whole life revolves around my family and this job.
Yeah.
Yeah? This job's not just my job, it's my hobby, it's my interest, everything. Yeah. It's, you know, you can see that from doing LTR and cab chat and everything else, right? And it's also my pension because, as you say, if I go out 2 or 3 days a week, have a bit of a laugh, cup of coffee with my mates... And earn a little
people,
bit of money
see
and see
beings.
People, see human beings. That's my pension.
I've been on that square. I don't miss any demos. And I've been on that square and I've met some of the nicest people. There's a man that goes round. He's a taxi driver.
Yeah.
And he wasn't going to renew his licence. He's got the big banner about plastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He normally wears red.
Red, thing. Yeah.
And I speak to him every day, every time we're on there. And I talked him into renewing his licence. He said, what's the worth of it?
Yeah.
And I went...
Well, I've got to be honest, Lynn.
It was too hard to come by. Renew it. For £300, renew it.
I'm one of the drivers in the position. I've applied for the TfL's decommissioning grant for Marquette.
Yeah.
Because Marquette's 12 years old. Yeah? So, the £10,000 I've applied for. Now, I get the £10,000, I've got to go and buy another cab. Right, but with the way that they're closing roads and projecting the restrictions that we're going to have in London, is it worth me doing it? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. And it's knocked down to 12 years, yet the Mayor of London, and this is what I tell people, the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan's favourite engine is a Euro 6.
Yep, and yet we're not allowed to use it.
Yeah, but it's all right for Viavan and those types, isn't it?
Yep.
He likes it.
Yep.
Because he said it's okay.
And
but it's not for us.
And Addison Lee have just bought 1,200 new Shirans with Euro 6 engines. Viafan are using Mercedes Vito vans. But what is an on-demand bus service? is that not a taxi?
Yeah, except it's not door-to-door.
But
I remember speaking to...
There's a little bit of a conflict of interest here with Viavan because they're running a bus service but also running a minicab service.
Yeah.
So surely somewhere along the line the two are going to get lost.
Well, there was a little thing we looked into with the CO licence. They're doing it in Liverpool. If you've got a six-seater like a Vita, and they were stopping them going into bus lanes, they got this licence about £64-65 a year. They ain't going to bus lanes. So if we had them and we're going to bus lanes, Tottenham Court Road...
Yeah,
Bank Junction because it's a bus.
You just register it as a bus.
Yeah. But
London's slightly. London regulations are slightly different. Whereby anything over eight seats is classed as a bus.
Yeah.
So we've only got six, at most seven seats with a driver.
Yeah.
So we couldn't be classed as a bus. So you've got to have something slightly bigger. And it'd have to be approved by TfL. And TfL's, you know, we got, you can't get away from the fact that these vehicles that TfL are saying are killing people, and Camden Council are saying are killing people, are the ones that TfL told us we had to buy.
Yeah.
We didn't have a choice in what vehicle we could buy. We had to buy these vehicles.
Yeah.
We had no choice. There was no other vehicle available to us. We've not had a hybrid vehicle available to us. And the private hire drivers that keep saying, black cabs are allowed to use bus lanes, they're not going to have to pay the congestion charge. We've got... I heard one the other day, Drumslayer was interviewing one in the square, after the ITA demo. And one said, but we've got Priuses, which are hybrids, I'm going to buy a Prius for $9,000.
Yeah.
I can't buy a taxi for nine grand, whether it's a Euro 4, 5, or 6 or an electric cab. I can't buy one for $9,000. Let alone something like a 14 plate for $9,000, which I've seen for sale, 12s and 14 plates.
Their argument, they're saying they're going to court. I don't know who they got. They've got Perry Mason, but the private hire argument that it's racist, right?
There's no restrictions to doing the knowledge. It's open to all.
It's not even a knowledge. It's not whether you're a taxi driver, private hire driver, or minicab driver. It's the fact it's the vehicle.
Yeah.
If you're a private hire driver with wheelchair accessible vehicle, you don't have to pay.
Yeah.
So it's got nothing to do with race. It's to do with a vehicle.
Yeah.
Unless you say that a lot of taxis are black.
Yep. Yeah. Any private hire driver that's got an all electric vehicle or a zero emissions capable vehicle hasn't got to pay.
Yeah.
At the moment, most of the Priuses don't have to pay.
Yeah.
Until 2021. And when they will have to pay, it's those that don't come into that category that do have to pay, i.e. those that are not classed as zero emissions capable. But any zero emissions capable vehicle and certain Priuses, any electric vehicle, don't have to pay the congestion charge. They don't pay no road tax either. They don't pay anything.
It's like when they first come out, they mandated the credit card. I think that was a good thing. I don't like the credit card machine in the back.
I think it was a good thing. I don't think it should have had to be mandated on the taxi trade. Taxi drivers should have willingly accepted credit cards.
Yeah, well, most of us did anyway. I was remember being on Comcab and we'd done it through that. And
well,
then
I was
after
on
I left
Towncab, 28 years ago, I was taking credit cards.
And then I had the swiper, you know, with Johnny Anderson, and you went and gave him the sheet.
Yeah.
All right. And so I never worried about it. In fact, when people get in, they go, all right, a paper card. I go, and I always say, yeah, I prefer it. Really?
Yeah, I do now.
Because I've got two apps on my phone.
Yeah.
So when I pay my cab, I press an app and I pay my cab.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I've got to park up.
Go to the bank.
And queue up.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm with Metro Bank because they're open till 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And 6 o'clock on a Saturday, 5 o'clock on a Sunday. That's a little plug, Metro Bank. So let me
offer sponsor the Cab Chat show.
Sponsor, yeah. So, you know, I actually like it. I've got nothing to hide. I don't earn enough to make a difference anyway.
Yeah. Well, Len, thanks for coming in today.
Right,
and thanks for...
just a chat, wasn't it?
Yeah, just a chat, and went really well.
I was round the corner.
Maybe we'll get you in again soon and to see how things are going.
I'll get more used to this malarkey.
Yeah. I mean, it's gone quite well today. And as you know, we've now launched at Cab Chat, Cabioke.
Oh, yeah.
So... we're going to get you to go and sing. We're going to go and get you to do some cabioke in the cab.
All right.
And
I've got a fantastic voice. It's just a COPD. Have I told you I've got COPD?
Lenny Everidge, thanks for coming in on Cab Chat, mate. And
you're welcome.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
It's a Cab Chat interview. Where you're here.